We are continuing in the book of Ephesians. We started last week with Paul's introduction of himself as the author, and then his greeting. Today we'll get into a foundation of sorts for the rest of the book. So let's read the text. We'll read Ephesians 1, and we'll just go down to verse 4. Verses 1 through 4. So, read with me, again, Ephesians 1, 1 through 4. Hear the word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. We'll stop there. Our sermon title this morning is Spiritual Blessings in Christ. Spiritual blessings in Christ. Last week, we looked at the Apostle Paul's greeting, as I said, at the beginning of his letter to the saints in Ephesus. He calls these to whom he writes saints, right? The faithful ones in Christ Jesus. As an apostle, Paul presents himself to the saints at Ephesus with his title. Right, with his office. He is an apostle. Right, so he establishes his credentials. As an apostle, he speaks the word of God. And by virtue of the Spirit, it is without error. This is scripture. This letter, this epistle to the church or those saints in Ephesus. Paul's apostolic authority is here for us also. Right, this is foundational. In our passage this morning, Paul is about to speak about unseen realities that we experience in the Christian life. We must take all these things on the authority of Scripture. We have to take this at his authority, right? The authority of Scripture from the apostle, ordained by God to this end, we have an authority. And as it's communicated by the apostle, the one who speaks the word of God, without error here, because he has been ordained to do so. In his greeting, right, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we saw that this greeting becomes a prayer for the Ephesians. For the Ephesians. With the pen of the apostle, he prays that grace and peace would be multiplied to them. And as we said, from the storehouses of God, grace and peace are dispensed. The Father is the source, and Christ, the Son, right? God incarnate, and Christ, having been made Lord over all that is the Father's, he administers and gives freely and abundantly. He is our advocate, our mediator. He is our elder brother, dispensing grace, dispensing peace, and every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. To these Gentile believers, the Apostle Paul writes, he writes to the saints in Ephesus. This letter has been referred to as a circular letter. Right? It's not strictly to one church, if you will. Right? This is a letter that would be circulated. And most likely, right, it would be intended to be read by several churches in that area. So it would make its way around. And although very short, right, it's only six chapters, this letter to the Ephesians, is considered one of Paul's most important letters. We talked about how it is full of doctrine. We said how the first three chapters are doctrinally rich, and then the next three are how we're supposed to live according to that doctrine. So we'll see, as we go through this book, a series of prayers which Paul offers. He offers for both the church. He offers up prayers for the church, but also in praise to God for who God is and what he's done. We'll see practical instructions for Christian living, all of which are to encourage faithful believers, right? The faithful ones here, encouraging faith believers to continue to walk in love and wisdom and obedience to their God. The letter addresses the importance of unity in the body of Christ, the need for spiritual maturity, which we've been covering in Sunday school. We'll get to chapter 4, where it speaks of the putting off of the old self and the putting on of the new self. Here we'll see Paul's emphasis on the role of grace in salvation and the new identity believers have in Christ. Later, we'll see how we are to conduct ourselves, right, in our various relationships. And lastly, we'll have a very famous and familiar passage regarding the armor of God. So overall, this book shows us what is needed, right, for the faithful Christian to live out the implications of the gospel. And really, practically, in our everyday life. So today, we'll lay, a bit of foundation. We've had the greeting, we've had the introduction, and now a little bit of a foundation of sorts. We'll see that God has blessed his people with spiritual blessings. Then the content of the letter will be, for really the rest of the letter, will be Paul working through the ways that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So, look at verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3 of Ephesians reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So after opening the letter with a short greeting, a prayer for the saints in Ephesus, Paul blesses God. He gives God the glory right at the outset, and all for what he has done, for what he has accomplished, referring to him as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have this relationship being pointed out between the Father and the Son, right? The incarnate Christ submitted himself to the will of the Father. In John 20, 17, we have Jesus calling God his God and his Father. John 20, 17, Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Right? We have been brought into relationship with our God. He is our Father by or in Christ. He is our God. So we have, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Notice that it is the Father who has blessed his people. And the first thing that you should be aware of is that God the Father is the author of these blessings. Right? God the Father authors these blessings. It is he who has blessed us. The second thing is that we should have our attention drawn to is that he has blessed us. He has, right? This is past tense. We have these blessings even now. God the Father has blessed us. This is a reality for the Christian. although an unseen reality, for the most part, it is a reality that is experienced spiritually. Notice how the blessing is conferred upon us. The Father is the author, the source, the giver of all these blessings, but it is only in and through Christ that we are blessed. These spiritual blessings are the fruits or the outworkings of the work of Jesus Christ as our mediator. The mediatorial work of Jesus Christ conferred to us by the Holy Spirit. So we have here the doctrine of the Trinity, the function of each person in the work of redemption. The Father is the author, source, giver of all that the Son provides by his life, death, and resurrection. And that the Spirit then applies, and that the Spirit then applies to those who have been chosen by God for salvation. We read on, it says, "Blessed be the God of our Father, Lord, and of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." God decided for us every spiritual blessing. Everything that can be contained in the phrase spiritual blessings or divine blessing belongs to the people of God in Christ. And these things we take all on the authority, again, of God's word. And we must. As God's mouthpiece, the apostle, by virtue of his office, being, as it says in 2 Peter 1:21, carried along by the Holy Spirit, right? He pens this scripture. He presents us with the authoritative word of God. These things, these spiritual blessings, Paul refers to, are not tangible, right? They're spiritual. They're in the heavenly places. They're not there for the naked eye to see. So we must take them on faith and according to the authority of the word of God. We can know that these blessings are ours because of the scripture. And we experience these spiritual blessings as we begin to know the scripture and study the scriptures and live the scripture. We were speaking last week, I believe it was, with the men and talking about how the Spirit will reveal things, not audibly, but while you're reading scripture and things, your mind is enlightened. You're like, how did I never see that before, right? And it's just confirmation, right? The Spirit is working. The Word is active. It is alive. So we have these blessings, and we have the Spirit as a down payment of these blessings, which we'll see. In verse 4, it says, even as. It's brought to us as even as, right? We have these blessings in Christ, these spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessing in Christ, in the heavenly places, even as. This even as is according to or just as. This is the way or the mode, if you will, with which we have been blessed, right? Even as, right, or according to, right, the measure with which we have been blessed. Even as, right, according to. Well, what is it according to? What is it just as? What is the way? It says, he chose us in him. Even as he chose us in him. So the Father chose a people in Christ. Okay? Before the foundation of the world, it says. So these unseen realities are experienced and confirmed through the outworking of the Spirit. All of the spiritual blessings are predicated on the fact that God chose. God chose. And a lot of people have a problem with that. They believe that they're the ones who chose God. right? But we see here that God chose us in him. God set his seal upon a people, right? The people that he would in time save. He foreknew a people out of the entire mass that would be of humanity, right? The entire mass of humanity that would ever live, he chose. He chose people. He chose individuals. And before you get too carried away with that, understand this is in keeping with who God is, right? It is his character. Think of the many narratives that we have in the Bible. We have a mass of people that are sinful, and God says, Noah. Noah. Right? Out of the multitude that were on the earth in those days, he chose one man to build a boat. And how many people survived? Eight. He chose one man out of the mass of humanity. When there were many others to choose from, he chose a pagan, Abraham. He chose Abraham and said, I'm going to make a nation from this guy, and I will bless everyone through him. Out of all that were available, he chose Moses to deliver his people. Out of all his brothers, God chose David. David. Samuel was like, do you have any others? I see all these, but is there someone else? So yeah, he chose David to be king and to be the ancestor, if you will, to the King of Kings. And in the New Testament, we see God choosing the 12. God foreknew a people, right? He chose a people. He chose to love a people. Out of the entire mass of humanity, he chose a limited number when there was multitudes available. He set his love upon individuals and his seal upon particular people. Now remember, this is before the foundation of the world. In the counsel of his will, before the foundation of the world, infinitely wise, right, according to the counsel of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, God set his love upon a people. He chose who would be his. There's great comfort in that. It is God who chooses. It's not based on anything within us, not based on anything that we would do. God is not reactionary. He doesn't look down the corridor of time and say, oh, these people will choose me, so I'm going to choose them. No, he simply chose to manifest his infinite love by choosing a people to love. That's an amazing thing. He simply chose to manifest his infinite love by saying, I'm going to love this really unlovable people. We'll talk about that. These blessings, right, these spiritual blessings we receive are the outworking of what was decided in that wise council. These blessings are what were decreed by God, the fulfillment and realization of God's electing a people before the foundation of the world. These spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. If you are in Christ, every blessing that you have experienced or will experience are due to God's sovereign election from before time began. All of these blessings are not based on anything that God saw in you. That is a comfort because we are sinful. We are sinful. Yes, these spiritual blessings are according to him choosing, but but also according to his plan. And we begin to see this plan working out in real time as God calls those whom he has chosen to be his. Right? There's an effectual call. There's a general call to all. But to his own, there's an effectual call. God regenerates. God converts. God grants repentance and faith. God adopts. And God sanctifies those that he has set his seal upon. We talked about the Lamb's Book of Life last week. I won't belabor that. But remember that that name is written down and it will not be blotted out. Those that did not have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life will eventually worship the beast if they're on earth at that time. So, yes, before the foundation of the world, not only did he choose a people, but there's also this plan. We begin to see that plan, right, as in time it is worked out. He chose to mark out these for his own. So understand this. This is not simply for our good, which it is, but also it is for God's glory, ultimately. What he set in motion, he will not fail in. He is manifesting his infinite love, choosing a specific people to show his love to. Who he has set his seal upon, who he has marked out, will have these blessings. They will be saved. Not just have a conversion experience, they will be saved to the uttermost. All of what I just mentioned, right? Election, calling, regeneration, conversion, the gifting of repentance and faith, adoption into God's family, and sanctification all lead to the believer's glorification. Spiritual blessings heaped up on top of one another, multiplied. The blessings which come after death and a new heavens and a new earth, we can't even imagine. And God's plan will not fail. His counsel will stand. His decrees will occur. What he has promised will be carried out. His promises will be fulfilled. All to those whom he chose in Christ. He is infinitely powerful to do what he has said. His counsel is infinitely wise, and he has set his infinite love upon a people, all to our good and to his glory. And it is in him. It is only in Jesus Christ where we can be acceptable to our God. We were chosen in him, and by virtue of his righteousness, we will be holy and blameless. Our passage goes on to say, he chose us in him that we should be holy and blameless before him. Notice here, even before the world was formed, before its foundation laid, God's people were chosen out of a mass of mankind that would be lost. Mankind would need saving, right? All is decreed, and God's plan was set, and it would come to pass. Those that were marked out for salvation would need the holiness of the Son of God. In order to be blameless before our God, a substitute would be required. Mankind would be lost. The work of redemption was planned and its details arranged from all eternity. God knows our frame. His judgments are unsearchable and his ways past finding out. We don't understand that. How all of this has been decreed, how before there was sin, right? God knew in his counsel, his plan. He has decreed that these things would occur. The fall of man, the crucifixion. All that comes to pass. But that we would be holy and without blame before him, all solely due to his love for a people that he chose. This is the design of God's electing act. God did not choose some because he foresaw their holiness, but in order that they might become holy and without blame. That they might become holy and without blame. At the time of the choosing, they didn't even technically exist. But they would need to become holy and without blame. So that we, as Christ's bride, would be presented without spot or wrinkle to our bridegroom. So, as we kind of think about this, I don't want to get too far into, yes, we're dealing with election, which is a huge doctrine, and it begins to, if you've read any more in chapter 1, they begin to compound these great doctrines of the faith, from predestination, adoption, right, all redemption, all these things within just a few verses. So, as we focus simply on the fact that God chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Understand that no matter the trial, no matter the tribulation that we might face in this life, we can take comfort in the fact that as those chosen of God, we are now and will be recipients of God's unending grace and mercy. What an amazing thing. We're not left to fend for ourselves, but are granted every spiritual blessing we could possibly need by our Heavenly Father in Christ through the Spirit, so that we may stand before him holy and blameless in Christ. I love that. That we may stand before our Heavenly Father in Christ through the Spirit, blameless and holy. But there's more to it. This expression, right? Holy and blameless, right? Standing before him, that's amazing. But understand that by the very nature and glory of this new life that has been given us in Christ, we will spend all of this in God's presence, holy and blameless. Not simply standing there, right? Like as though a judgment seat, right? We tend to think that way. But instead, we will spend eternity in God's presence, in right standing and fellowship with our God for all eternity, based upon a choice. God's choice of a people to love. We will spend an eternity with our God and Father, holy and blameless, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. It's an amazing thing. I hope that as we continue in the book of Ephesians, I can perhaps touch on these things, even helping you to understand the immensity of the things that we're going to deal with. For now, let's stop there. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the unfathomable riches, the blessings that we cannot even understand, which are all in Christ. It is humbling to think that you would take a wretch, a sinful rebel in your kingdom, and make him your son. That you would dispense abounding mercies and grace and peace to us. If it was just us, of course, we would simply have wrath. But you chose to love a people. And you've given us these infinite blessings on behalf of your Son, in your Son. If we are found in him, we are blameless and holy before you. We cannot wrap our minds around this. But I thank you, Lord, that by the authority of your scriptures, by the authority of, by apostolic authority, we may take this as truth. And we may rely upon your promises that if we turn from our sin and put our faith in you, that we believe that we are those that you have placed your seal upon, you will confer these blessings in time. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy to undeserving sinners. In Christ's name, amen.